The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go. Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I am Chairman and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 107, In Case of Emergency. With the past year and a half, being prepared for emergencies, being prepared for the unexpected, is something that has gone from the limelight to the spotlight in an awful hurry. At the beginning of the pandemic, there was a great deal of uncertainty and a suddenness to what was going on with respect to if someone contracted COVID and how quickly a case can escalate from I'm feeling fine to being in the hospital to being on a ventilator and potentially dead. But the thing is, that's even that line of progression is still relatively slow motion compared to how things can just progress from day to day. After all, if you get in a vehicle and you go and drive, it's not incredibly likely, but it is possible that someone just literally drives their car into you, and you could find yourself in a situation where you're unable, for whatever reason, to make decisions about whether it's your healthcare or because you're incapacitated, what happens if you have kids? How does, who's help, supporting the kids or making decisions for them or that sort of thing? And we're not even talking about the idea of death and property and all of that stuff. We're literally just talking about what happens if you are no longer, for whatever reason, in a position to make decisions about your health. Who makes those choices? And how do you want those choices to be made? The good news in this is that you can actually build paperwork, and we'll talk about that paperwork in a minute, that will communicate in with legal force behind it. This is how I want my decisions about my healthcare, my level of comfort, and how I basically want to be how I want these things administered, and what I do want and what I don't want done for me if I'm in a position where I can't make that decision. And there are a number of ways you couldn't make that decision. I mean, there's the potential of, if you were to have something happen that were to put you in a coma. Well, obviously, you can't communicate what your intentions and ideas are, but if you had documentation that told people what that was, then you could. Then you would have the ability to communicate that because you've communicated that in advance, assuming that you have built some legally enforced documents and you need to share those documents with your healthcare provider. If you've done all that work, chances of you having your wishes granted in that sense goes up dramatically. And so there are a set of different documents that you can have, and this differentiates based on state, by the way. So for today, I'm going to talk a bit about what happens in our home state of Illinois, but you're going to find parallel or similar-ish rules depending on your state, and I would strongly advise you to seek out legal counsel of your own in your state with what would be most appropriate for what you're trying to communicate. Illinois law has four different types of advance directives. There's a healthcare power of attorney, a living will, a mental health treatment preference declaration, and what's called a DNR, or a do not resuscitate, And it's the same thing is called a practitioner orders for life-sustaining treatment, or PULSED. So these four kind of documents, essentially. And you can have more than one of them going on at once. You could have a healthcare power of attorney and a living will. That's a very common combination because, for example, what a healthcare power of attorney does is it lets you choose someone to make healthcare decisions for you in the future if you're no longer able to make those decisions for yourself. In Illinois, what's interesting is that you can actually either have this be a separate document or you can include this as part of a durable power of attorney. Illinois actually separates in its law the property power of attorney from a healthcare power of attorney. So you can have two separate people do those roles. If you think there are two people, one person might be better at making financial decisions and the other might be better in a healthcare life or death situation. Or you may make them the same person and include all of that in a durable power of attorney document. Any of those is possible. But that POA, or power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, is going to, again, communicate who has the power to make healthcare decisions. And you can include in that power of attorney not just someone that you want to be that person, but maybe you include a couple of people that are contingent. That if that person is unavailable or unwilling to make a choice, then we move on to the next person and so on. But basically being able to have a person or a bench of people that are willing to carry out your what your playbook is or what you want to see happen when it comes to your healthcare decisions. Moving on to what a living will is, a living will actually tell your healthcare professional whether you want death delaying procedures if you have a terminal condition, and you're unable to tell that professional what you want. So unlike a power of attorney, a living will literally only applies if you have a terminal condition. A terminal condition means that it's incurable and it's irreversible. And so basically death delaying procedures are only prolonging the dying process. You know, it's important that if that's not something that you want, that you communicate that you do not want this thing. There is a note that if you are pregnant and your healthcare professional thinks you could have a live birth, the living will not go into effect. But that said, that document ends up being very important when it comes to specifically death delaying procedures. Another document that can come into play is what's called a mental health treatment preference declaration. What that will declare is whether you want to receive things like psychotropic medicine or elective convulsive treatment if you have a mental illness and are unable to make those decisions for yourself. And again, you're basically you're choosing someone that is who's referred to as an attorney in fact, and you can write those wishes and tell someone, this is what I want you to do. If I am no longer considered mentally competent to to make these types of choices with respect to mental illness. A final document that I talked about a couple of minutes ago is called a DNR, or Do Not Resuscitate, which basically suggests whether, if your heart or breathing stops, should they be performing CPR? Should they be using things like a defibrillator and so forth, or not? Do you not want someone to resuscitate you? Do you want that to just be the end at that point? So obviously these are things that are not easy to think about. I think they can be very challenging, quite frankly. And I'll tell you, me personally, I don't have a really great relationship with the concept of death. I hate it. It scares me. It makes me, I don't feel very good about that. And I mean, that may sound kind of stupid to some people listening going, well, yeah, who looks forward to that? But it's tough for me to conceptualize the end of me. Even though I know there will be an end of me. And so, you know, I think what can help is having some time and taking some time to at least sit down and think about these things a little bit, and at least putting on paper what you might want to see happen now. And the thing is, all these documents can change. If you later want to change designations or change how something is handled or whatever, you can totally do that. You can have these things, you can modify these things as time goes on. And every couple of years, I suggest that people do review things like their will, like, you know, if they have their stuff in a trust, or for example, you know, or these advanced healthcare directives. But the kick is, if you don't have any of this documentation in play, you're now leaving it in the hands of physicians and or the courts to decide how and what should happen. And if that doesn't sound awesome to you, then you need to get these documents in order such that you're able to communicate and express, this is what I want to see happen. And again, there's just a much, much greater chance that that will actually occur should, you know, should something unfortunate happen to you. And the kick is, we can't predict when or how that might happen. That's the hardest part about this, is that you may be, you know, if you're in your 30s or 40s, you may look at this and think, well, that's going to be 40, 50 years from now. And I say for many people, that's true. But that's not true for everyone. Last year, I had 4 clients die, 2 of whom were under the age of 45. Oh. That we live to a certain average age does not mean we all get there. But the bottom line is that we need to, you know, if you want these things to be taken care of regardless what age you are, then you need to make these things known. Now, if you're like me, and you're going, you know, this is, I understand the need and importance, Stephen, but this is tough stuff. Where do I even begin? There is a terrific document called 5 Wishes that helps people, and I think walks people through these types of decisions. And the 5 Wishes, 5 Wishes is actually overall a legal document that is accepted in most states, 44 of them in the District of Columbia. Now, that said, I don't tend to suggest, I certainly don't tend to recommend or suggest to use the, you know, 5 Wishes booklet or document as your sole legal vehicle or device. I think it's a great way, however, to get started with this process and then take that thing in to an attorney. Because I'll tell you, I think it is tough to sit in front of someone you've never met before, who doesn't know you, and talk about stuff that's super sensitive like this. I think that would be almost impossible for me. But what isn't impossible is having something at least ask those questions and prompt some thoughts on some different options that are available, and at least get you thinking about how these things could be handled. And then at least when you're coming into that conversation, you've written these wishes down. You can communicate that with the lawyer. It's right there in the booklet, and they can make that happen in a legal document that is enforceable in your state. And I think that's super important. Anytime I hear about LegalZoom, NOLO, and all this stuff, laws change. Things change. And if your document is deficient, a court or whoever may simply just ignore it or ignore aspects of it. Where if you had a licensed practicing attorney drafting that document, and then you're working with them every couple of years to just make sure the thing is up to date and in good form, in good order, you're going to put yourself in a far better position to be confident that should an eventuality come to pass, that you are going to be taken care of in the way you want to be taken care of. And so with that, the five wishes document, I'll tell you what the five wishes are and what they walk you through. Wish number one is called the person I want to make care decisions for me when I can. Sounds like that healthcare power of attorney, doesn't it? Wish number two, the kind of medical treatment I want or don't want. That's basically a living will. Wish number three, how comfortable I want to be. Do you want pain management? Do you want personal grooming and bathing instructions? What options you want maybe for hospice care would fall under this. Wish number four, how I want people to treat me. Do you want to be at the hospital or at home? Do you want someone praying for you at your bedside? Or do you not want something like that at all? And then wish number five, what I want my loved ones to know. Dealing with matters of forgiveness, how you want to be remembered, and maybe if there are questions regarding funeral or memorial plans, how do you want that to work? Again, these are tough questions. I can't express that enough. Even as I'm reading through them and I'm thinking them over in my own head, I'm like, holy smokes, I don't like these questions. What I really don't like is the idea of not expressing them and leaving it to people who are grieving, who are sad, who are, you know, already going to have a tough time having to make all these decisions for me without guidance, trying to guess what I may or may not have wanted, or worse, the government deciding all of that for me. All of that seems poor. And it's avoidable. And it's not expensive to think these things through, write these things down, and have a lawyer codify that in your state's supportive documentation so that we make sure that these things are carried out to the full extent of your state's laws. So with that said, so I talked about this five wishes document. And so with that, I have an offer for you. If you're listening to this podcast, if you reach out to me, Steven@BriggsWealth.com, Steven@BriggsWealth.com, and say, hey, Steven, I would love a copy of Five Wishes. I will send you a copy of Five Wishes for free. No sales pitch. This isn't mine. This is so where does Five Wishes come from, by the way? Five Wishes is an advanced directive that's created by a nonprofit organization called Aging with Dignity. Aging with Dignity, national organization, a variety of different programs to promote healthy aging and end of life and that sort of thing. But this document's been used by financial planners widely and successfully for many, many years. Originated in 1996, so it's been around 25 years. So with this, if you want a copy of this thing, I will pay for that license. I will send you, have a copy digitally sent to you for free. I just need your name and I need your email address. You email that to me, Steven@BriggsWealth.com, and I will get you a copy of Five Wishes. It would be my pleasure, and I would be overjoyed to help you get this process started. As we come up on the holiday season, you get a chance to see family and friends. This is the best time of year for a lot of people to see people that ultimately might make some of these decisions if they're not in your immediate household. You know, it's also a time of year where you think about some of the stuff and you reminisce and you kind of, and so to that end, let's take advantage of that a bit. Give yourself some personal comfort. Give your family some personal comfort that you have a plan in place. You've communicated. You've discussed it. You've put it in writing, working with a licensed attorney, and you're going to be in really good shape there. And then make it a priority every couple of years to review it. So, with that, thank you very much for listening to this episode. Please subscribe if you're not already subscribed to our podcast. But follow us on, please follow us on Facebook, on Instagram. Give us that like, give us that follow. We've got lots of tips that come in throughout the week and weeks. We also have a blog called The Briggs Blog that I publish in periodically as well. And of course, if you have any other questions or want to have a conversation about anything involving your finances, investing, what have you, tax preparation, email me, Stephen@BriggsWealth.com, or visit our website and set up a consultation. It's completely free, and we'd love to have that conversation with you and help you with whatever is on your mind. So with that, thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic week. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money Is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.